WRXR-FM, Walden, Chattanooga. A production of Whitfield Media Group. This is the fastest hour in radio, Racing Talk Radio, on Rock 103.7, your home for NASCAR. Now, live, here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Monday, everybody. Welcome into the program. It is indeed time for Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. And man, do we have a show for you. Surprise winner, 6-7 this week. So we've got to talk about exactly what that means. Another first-time winner in the books this year. Of course, doesn't guarantee you a spot into the playoffs, so we'll talk about that. Plus, you know, young guy, these young kids coming into the sport, bit of a youth movement and a little bit of drama with two of our young superstars. And we're going to talk about both of them later on in the program. Plus, you know, points, the chase, the playoffs is right around the corner. Was Indianapolis a good race or just a fun result? Mixed reviews on what we saw on TV. So there is a lot to get to. Let's go ahead and start it right now. Sit back, relax. It is indeed time for Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. I am Casey Orr, and I'm sitting across the Carson Hocevar of this program. It is none other than Sean Whitfield with the Whitfield Media Group.
Now, how did I get that identity? I must know.
The Carson Hocevar?
Yeah.
Just, you know, the showman?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, with
I thought maybe it's because you were saying I was handsome or something.
Well, I was going to.
That tends to be something that follows him often.
I was going to say, you know, a man with a lot of divided opinions about him.
Is that the way it is?
You know, half the people are in, half the people are out.
Especially after all these years. Just don't Google me. You never know what you're going to have heard somebody say about me or read what somebody has said about me. But, man, what a weekend. We got a lot of NASCAR stuff to talk about without any question. A lot of mixed opinions, reviews, and if I hear Crown Jewel again after today's program, I think I'm gonna scream. I am tired of that. Have you noticed
of the phrase, or
I'm tired of it all.
Of giving Indianapolis the respect that we don't think it deserves.
Both.
Yeah.
I am tired of it all, but especially Indy getting the credit that it does. No question about it. The Speedway is probably the most iconic on the planet. But even though NASCAR has been there over 30 years, which is very hard to believe because I was at the inaugural Brickyard, still, even though you've been there 30 years, doesn't make it a crown jewel. But anyway, we'll get into that and debate it and share thoughts and opinion about that in just a moment. But first, man, how was the weekend other than just hot?
God, man, wasn't it ever. Just a gross, hot, sticky weekend. Good, man. Didn't do a whole lot, which sometimes is good because we've been pretty busy. Evelyn had a little golf match with the PGA Junior League Saturday evening, and it was also very hot. And, you know, those tend to drag on, and it did. But it was fun. At least you're on a golf course.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, I tell you what I did. You know what? As a man of culture, which you know I am.
Add arts to that, too.
Yesterday, which didn't see you at Mass. I don't know. Y'all must have been towards the back.
You know, I skipped it yesterday.
So we went and did a little community theater. And you know our old buddy Terry Baker.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, TDB, Terry Dan Baker. His son Josh.
Heard that one before.
His son Josh was in the play Grease. From the movie?
Yeah, where was that?
At the Colonnade down there in old North Georgia, your stomping ground. And so we went and sat with the Bakers and watched Josh in Grease. And my wife loves Grease, can sing all the songs. It was a fun little production, you know. You kind of have to take some liberties with the play that to kind of make it be a play from the movie. We brought Evelyn and the play kind of jumps around. And it, like, if you've seen the movie Grease, you were spot on what's going on. Mm-hmm. Evelyn hadn't seen Grease. Still some adult content in that one that, but there's plenty of that in the show too.
That's so, way out of her generation.
Had a few things to explain after the show, but all in all, it was a lot of fun, man. A lot of singing, dancing. Kids did great.
This was during the middle of the day?
Yeah. It was a 2 o'clock showtime, 2:30.
Was this for a nonprofit or something?
I think it's just a good old community theater. I have no idea.
Well,
you know me, I just go where I'm told.
I got you.
It was a lot of fun.
So was there a lot of people in it?
Yeah, I would think
cast.
Yeah, there was probably 20 kids in it. And I say kids, these are, you know, college age and up.
Yeah.
And the place was pretty packed. I mean, it looked looked better than Indianapolis did on TV anyway.
Gotcha.
It looked like there were quite a few people there, and that, you know, there's the music in Grease is great, and everybody, you know, everybody's singing along. So that was a lot of fun.
Well, I would say that, you know, that'd have been a great opportunity to be on the golf course, but the fact you were indoors at 2 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, I was out working in the yard. So, I can't really blame you.
Yeah. It was pretty warm this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. You know, this studio has got LED lights in it, and I can't go without commenting about this. You know, these LED lights, and it's shining down on you right now, and you've been wearing a hat all day. I'm seeing an awful lot of gray. Is that just...
Is this just Sean's time to pick on Casey?
Well, you know, I don't get that opportunity very often.
Are you just mad because, you know...
You do have more hair than I got. I was going to say,
at least you see something. Is that kind of what it was?
No doubt about it. But it just seems weird seeing you with gray hair.
That's unusual. I've had it for... It's called Silver Fox. Is that what it's called? That's what I like to call it. yeah, it continues to go gray.
Yeah.
And that's apparently just happens as you age.
It's blending well with your goatee and all that kind of stuff.
I coordinate. You know how it goes. But yeah, so thanks for the daily reminder that I'm old.
Well, you just had a birthday a month and a half ago.
I'm 47.
47.
Last I checked. Still 10 years younger than you, though, which is exciting.
Yeah.
Now.
That is true. I'm not throwing stones or anything. I just am not used to this about you because you're always looking so much younger than me.
You're just not used to seeing so much gray. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's because I had a hat on. Maybe we should get some fluorescence in here. You know, get rid of these healthy LEDs and get me some good old-fashioned phosphorus.
Maybe you don't have the hair product in it or something like that.
That's probably
it. So, yeah.
You know.
But anyway, it was a distraction there for a moment. Now that I got it out, I feel better.
I'm glad one of us does. Thanks.
We can move on. But, man, I had a great weekend. Mrs. Kim Chapman Whitfield, she was away all weekend. She's in Florida.
All right.
Party. Distant family. She was at Sanibel Island all weekend. So she's been away at the beach. And so I've been working at home and...
not being told what to do for a while. What's that like?
Well, I don't even get told what to do when she's in town.
Oh, man.
You know, because we pass a lot of times. You know, we're like passing in the night because of our schedules.
Two ships passing in the night.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're married to a TV news anchor that doesn't get home until after midnight and you're already asleep. And then when you get up the next morning and you leave, she's sleeping until 9:30 or 10 because she didn't get to sleep or to bed till 3 a.m. It's one of those things that you get caught up on Saturdays as far as seeing one another. But yeah, you know, it works. And even when we go on a vacation, it's truly a vacation because we never get to spend that many days in a row with one another.
It's like, all right, time to go back to work.
Yeah, for sure. All right, enough about what's going on in our own worlds. I want to talk for just a moment about the... traditional media, not the NASCAR media, but traditional media. I came across this story today titled NASCAR Brickyard 400 attendance figure made public as empty stands cause alarm. Now, this is something that we've kind of talked a little bit about, but it just goes to show you that the traditional media is going to cover this thing or this story as soon as possible on Monday.
Which, and you know what? This is the old perception and reality. It looked bad, so it must be bad. But if you dig into the numbers, A little different story.
Yeah, it says the 2026 Brickyard 400 featured a host of empty seats at Indianapolis Motor Speedway, closed off seating around turn three, and all the 225,000 seater stadium was packed with just 70,000. For the marquee NASCAR event, it was up slightly from just under 70,000 last year in 2025. Indianapolis president Doug Bowles, I like the statement he made. He said he told racers in a driver's meeting on Sunday that the crowd compares to a typical NFL stadium crowd. The 2026 Indianapolis 500 IndyCar Series race, now this is where it makes NASCAR look bad, was sold out, which we all knew that. But when you go from NASCAR at around 70,000, and it was just 2 months previous, the Speedway was sold out at 225,000, and NASCAR is supposed to be North America's number one motorsports. So to the people on the outside of the NASCAR world, it's just not a good look, but it is what it is. Is the Brickyard 400 an actual NASCAR race, is how they go on to write the story, or is it an exhibition race? There are so many empty seats, there is no one there. What the heck is going on? Hardly anyone at the Brickyard 400. What a fall this race has taken, was another post on social media. The racing sucks at Indy. It's nostalgic, but single groove racetrack with dirty air makes it for a follow the leader race.
Yes, I think you and I talked about this, and I feel bad because this diminishes Corey Haim's heck of a win, first-time win, probably a future star in the sport, but literally all anyone's talking about is the fact that it looked really bad on TV. 70,000 people is a good-sized crowd, but when you put them in a place that you could have tripled the crowd and still not filled it up. Mm-hmm. This is what happened. Now, I don't like the comparisons to the Indianapolis 500 because the Indy 500 is such a tradition, and especially in that part of the world. If you were to make Daytona International Speedway the same size as Indy and only hold one race a year in there down in Florida, it would probably be huge as well. What do all the other Indy races average? A heck of a lot less than NASCAR. So NASCAR is still by far and away the most popular motorsport in this country. We've talked about it. This track is not built for stock cars. It reminds me of some of these races we go to once or twice, and it's a cool idea, but it peters out. That's kind of where we're at. Yet, if this were the type of race we were getting in New Hampshire, we just wouldn't go there anymore. But it's Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and now NASCAR almost feels the onus to go to, you know, the oldest track in motorsports and a historic speedway and all those things that are still true. It's just, that's not what these cars are built for, Sean. I would liken it to, if the NBA guys were going to go play at some small gym or something like that, like that's just not what it's built for. Golf courses, you know, they keep having to make these golf courses longer and longer because these days guys can hit it 300. Well, if you send them back to a golf course that was popular in 1945 and tell them to play their set, that it wouldn't fit. Like it would get out of hand. And that's not what it's built for these days. That's not what this, you know, these drivers and cars are built for, Indianapolis Motor Speedway. And unfortunately we get what was a good race for Indianapolis. It becomes a pit strategy. There's no passing. It's kind of a technical race, and we all know that's not one of the most exciting things to watch. And then you look up in the stands and go, oh my God, no one's there. No, good sized crowds there. You're just in a massive stadium.
Yeah. And it's often debated whether or not NASCAR should continue to go there. And to my knowledge, they're not even making that consideration.
No, I
think it's definitely on the schedule for years to come.
Yes.
But I mean, so many reasons. It's not a very exciting race. I'm not going to say it's not a good race because all NASCAR races in my eyes are good, but I would put this race way on down the scale as far as a track that I enjoy watching a NASCAR race at. and to people in the sports world and everybody outside the NASCAR fan base that you and I live in, when they look at this, it's just not a good look. And it's frustrating and annoying that this is the perception that the outside world is seeing and believing. But it is. I mean, when you see a facility and it looks like there's nobody there, it is what it is. Now, I heard a NASCAR team owner talk about this today. He said, you know, no question, we're not getting the best racing there. But on the business side of NASCAR, eliminate the attendance. Sponsors like the idea that NASCAR is racing at Indianapolis. And it is a highly requested attendance as far as sponsors go and wanting to have their customers there, wanting to have their staff there, and to do the pre-race hospitality. So that part of the business model seems to be very effective, and that's an important one. But this is it's an interesting debate. I would not be disappointed if NASCAR made the decision at some point to not make this race every year, make it possibly every other year. I would say maybe even moving the All-Star race there, but I'm not so sure that would even make sense. And the attendance would probably even suffer more if you were to move an All-Star race there.
Yeah, you hope that probably the only good thing with all this goofy coverage about this is terrible and no one showed up is let's put the heads together. Let's see if we can't, you know, Sean, Charlotte had the Roval, right? We said there's no need to go back to Charlotte twice a year. Let's at least add a road course element. Is there something like that you can do around Indianapolis Motor Speedway? Can you have a road course race in the city of Indianapolis? I don't know. I mean, there's got to be some other facilities somewhere, but do it in honor of the Brickyard.
I don't think you could go back to Indianapolis and not be at...
I think you got to incorporate it in some way, but it's in
Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
It's to my point, it's funny. It's the way we're talking about this. You know, Brainerd Golf Course right down the road?
Yeah.
That is a Donald Ross designed golf course. Donald Ross is a legendary golf course designer. I mean, it's a big deal, right? There are plenty of golf courses out there that he designed that the PGA Tour still plays on. But if you brought the PGA guys over here to Brainerd, that would not work. Has nothing to do with what's wrong with the course or what's wrong with the guys. It's just those two aren't made for one another anymore. And it's really the same way with Indianapolis. This is just, it's not a good TV product. Even though the attendance is really okay, It looks bad, therefore it is bad. And there's got to be a way to harness the backstory, the cachet of Indianapolis Motor Speedway and be more of a benefit for NASCAR. Because I love the idea of Indy. It's just, and it feels like the last 15 years of racing's gotten bad. It didn't used to be this bad, but it is now.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of when you're growing up, you can bash your brother, but if somebody else bashes your brother, then you take offense to it.
I may have just gotten through beating him up, but you're not allowed to.
Yeah. And you get offended by that, and it bothers you that somebody would say or want to do something to your brother. That's the kind of the way I look at NASCAR and the traditional media when they cover a story. For example, Outkick today, which is owned by Fox. They're,
I can't stand those guys. Yeah, are you a Clay Travis guy? He's such a moron.
No, I'm not, but there's a lot of people that follow them.
He's such a moron.
And there was a story that they wrote that was very similar to the one I just shared. And that's what gets under my skin. Is when you see that type of media that's, I mean, they're in the sports world, but the ones that are even the worst are the ones outside the sports world. It's just not the kind of look you wish we'd have.
But you know, I mean, we had this very conversation about what was going to happen last show.
Yeah.
Like, hey, it's still going to look like nobody's there. The racing's not going to be great.
Yeah.
And now people are just calling NASCAR on it.
But when you see it in print today, it still annoys the heck out of you. All right, we want to thank all of you out there for joining us and making us a part of your day as we are broadcasting from the Nuga Dentistry studio. We're here each and every Monday at 6 right here on Chattanooga's Rock Station, Rock 103.7, as we continue talking NASCAR for 25 years. We got a lot more straight ahead. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shalafin Road and I-75.
When you have an appetite for Mexican food, I've got the place for you. Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill is your destination for fresh, delicious burritos, tacos, nachos, salads, and quesadillas. I have their grilled chicken bowl, and I choose each fresh ingredient just the way I like it. Go to Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill today, located at 2396 Lifestyle Way, Suite 114 in East Brainerd, just behind the Embassy Suites. For more information, visit Dos Bros online at dosbros.com.
We're excited to announce and welcome Nuga Dentistry. Nuga Dentistry specializes in general dentistry, cosmetic dentistry, dental implants, veneers, endodontics, Invisalign, and dental emergencies. Trusted dental care, one great smile at a time. And now, we are officially broadcasting from the Nuga Dentistry studio. Find Nuga Dentistry online at NugaDentistry.com.
I'm Blake Watson. Join Sean Whitfield and me every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for Your Home Radio, presented by Blake Watson with Epic Realty on 98.1 The Lake, featuring a variety of topics all related to your home.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. Sean Whitfield and Casey Orr. We're here each and every Monday at 6, getting you up to speed on all the NASCAR news and information. Getting ready to talk about big race winner Corey Heim in the 6-7 Mobile. First win of his career. First win of his very young career. And part of this new wave of young drivers having a fantastic season. Another first-time winner in 2026. We just got done with Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Next is Iowa, then Richmond, then New Hampshire, then Daytona, the final race before the playoffs. So now it's already hot outside. Things are certainly heating up on the track. And Sean, we're getting ready to talk about Corey Heim and his big win. But I just found this, and this echoes back to what we were talking about. I remember Indianapolis, it was never been a fantastic race, but it did used to be a good race, and it's something we all look forward to. I always remember Jimmy Johnson won the year that everybody was having blowouts every 10 laps or something, so I had to run a bunch of green flag
in Indianapolis. I think it was around 2008.
Yeah, it was a while back. Juan Pablo Montoya was getting ready to win his first ever race on something other than a road course, and he just lost it in one of the turns with like two laps to go, and he was devastated. I remember that. But green flag passes, so the number of time a car passes another car during a green flag, because you heard a lot of drivers talking about how it's just impossible to pass on this racetrack. In 2017, there were 1,554 green flag passes during the race at the Brickyard. This year, and they've got it for every single year. This year, let's see, 2017 was 1,554. This year, 974. So, I mean, 30 something less passes.
2012 was the all-time low at 875. Last year, there's only 1,000. So it literally, it just seems that the it's just getting worse. NASCAR, listen, they ain't scared to tinker with stuff. They're going to have to figure out something with that, make it a racetrack that you can pass or at least sort of pass. And that'll probably go a long way into helping.
Corey Himes already had 2 wins so far this year.
Oh, he has. That's right.
He is the youngest to ever win the Brickyard now at Indianapolis. And I heard this said today, which really just sort of gets you to thinking. He's not even a full-time driver. He's still considered part-time. He's had 2 wins. Hendrick Motorsports, 4-car team, one of the top organizations in NASCAR, has only had 2 wins as an entire organization. Now, don't you think Rick Hendrick is probably
what's going on with thinking, our talent, you know, evaluation?
Yeah, what we got a problem here. How do we fix this? We first start with Chevrolet, and then we start looking at ourselves. Of course, I think Chevrolet is going to be having a new body style coming out soon. But it's pretty remarkable what Toyota's been able to achieve this year.
If I'm Chevrolet, that new body style can't get here quick enough, because I'm sure you are hearing about from all the Chevrolet guys, like, we're looking into switching manufacturers at this point, because that's just how poor the performance has been. Yeah, so big win for Corey Heim. Sean, he's not even full-time yet for 23XI. His 12th Cup Series race, he's already got a win. And pretty soon, is it next year, he's going to go full-time into that driver's stable?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
You were talking about at the beginning of the program about a youth movement coming into NASCAR, and it's very true. All 3 first-time winners this season, Heim, Hosovar, and also Ty Gibbs, got their victories when they were 23 years old, the first time in Cup history that 3 or more drivers that young have accomplished that feat.
What were you doing?
Pretty impressive.
What were you doing at 23? I wasn't winning races or anything.
I was living like a mature adult in the business world, but at night at times, but especially on the weekends, I was living like a 23-year-old. Thinking that that Michael's or Gatsby's couldn't be open unless I was there. So it was a completely different world. And of course that was in the early 90s. So it's been a little while.
I was working for peanuts and free t-shirts in the world of radio, but boy, was I having fun.
Yeah. Yeah. It's remarkable to think about how well these guys are doing and just how well Toyota has done this year. And just think, a couple of months ago, we were thinking that Tyler Reddick had this thing wrapped up. And then here we've got Denny Hamlin in the running.
It's a ball game again.
We got Ryan Blaney still hanging in there. Ty Gibbs is not far behind Blaney. And yesterday was race number 22. We still got 4 more to go before we determine the chase. So still a lot of exciting racing to go. All right, let's get into the results of the Brickyard 400 yesterday at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. 160-lap race, 400 miles. Corey Heim started 7th in the Field & Streams Toyota. Led 58 laps of the race, came in first. Second was Christopher Bell. He
that's his 6th second place finish this year.
Yeah, he's definitely a second place guy a lot this year. Joey Logano, great day for him after winning last week. Came in 3rd. 4th, Chase Briscoe. 5th, Denny Hamlin. 6th, Brad Keselowski.
Hey,
good to see
Brad.
Him up there in the top 10. 7th, Josh Berry. 8th, Ryan Preece. 9th, Carson Hocevar. And also, Carson was on the pole. And then 10th, Tyler Reddick.
Chris Buescher, 11th. Ty Gibbs, 12th. Followed by other drivers of note. SVG, 16. Daniel Suarez, 17. William Byron, 21st. Ross Chastain, 23rd. Ryan Blaney, 26th. Rough day for a lot of big names. Bubba Wallace, 28th. Casey Mears, I got to give him a shout-out. He was in the race and didn't finish dead last, 35th. Chase Elliott, 37th. Kyle Larson, 39th. So, like I said, bad day for some big names.
Yeah, let's look at the Hendrick drivers for a moment. Kyle Larson last. Chase Elliott, 37th. Let's see here. Help me. Alex Bowman, 19th. The highest finishing Hendrick car would be, it'd be Alex Bowman in 19th. William Byron was 21st. So not a good day at all for the Chevy camp.
Yeah, not a great day. Carson Hocevar, the highest finishing Chevy in 9th. And apparently Hocevar, according to Denny Hamlin on Denny Hamlin's podcast, Hocevar and Heim have a bit of a rivalry, and that Corey Heim dominates Hocevar. And apparently there was a little bit of a, hey, how are you wave when he went by. So interesting. You know what? I think we could use two.
They're too young to be doing that.
No, I think we could use a couple up-and-comers bringing some fire to it, you know?
A little sign language on the racetrack?
Little rivalry's good.
Well, I don't disagree with that. But doing sign language on the racetrack to me is just a little weak. You need to be able to do it face-to-face.
Well, that's all right. But as long as you do it in both, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. All right. It is time for us to take a break. When we come back, we are going to break down the driver's standings after the race in Indianapolis and share with you what it looks like as we just completed race number 22 of the first 26 races of the NASCAR Cup season before we determine the 16 drivers that are going to be in the NASCAR chase. The drama is continuing to go along, and it's going to heat up even more in the upcoming next few weeks. We got all that and more. We come back after the break. We are broadcasting from the Nugget Dentistry Studio. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us. There's a way behind these eyes. What if I can't stop the rising tide? Above the undertow.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
Vector Security can create you a home automation solution that will give you the convenience and peace of mind of being able to control your security system, lights, locks, video, thermostat, and more, all from your Vector Security app.
Vector Security provides professional alarm and security system monitoring to ensure your home is well protected against all threats.
Vector Security has 24/7 expert security monitoring, lifetime satisfaction guarantee, complete home automation, and is 100% wireless.
Choose Vector Security. Find them online at vectorsecurity.com.
Listen up, Chattanooga. We've got a radio show that's just for you.
On the Move Radio on 98.1 The Lake each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. We're a radio show that's all about Chattanooga.
Join Sean Whitfield, Amy Morrow, and Barry Quarter as we discuss government, events, entertainment, lifestyle, and so much more.
For past shows, check out onthemoveradio.com or find us on all major podcast platforms. Just search On the Move Radio Download.
A production of the Whitfield Media Group.
Hey folks, this is Misty Bolt, otherwise known as Medicare Misty. Yes, I'm a real person, and yes, I help people answer real Medicare questions every day. 10,000 people are turning 65 daily. If you or your parents have questions, don't trust an 800 number, junk mail, or a national.com. Trust a real person that lives in your community and serves your community. Medicare Misty. Find out more about me and my team at MedicareMisty.com. MedicareMisty.com.
Not affiliated by or endorsed by any governmental agency. Plans depend on zip code. We may not have all plans. Go to Medicare.gov.
At Silverdale Baptist Church, we exist to lead people into an authentic relationship with Christ so they will worship God, grow in their faith, and then serve the Lord. Learn more about us and discover a campus and service time that fits you best at SilverdaleBC.com.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Welcome back to the program, Racing Talk Radio, here on Rock 103.7. Sean Whitfield, KCR. It's every Monday, whether you want it or not, from 6 to 7, going over all your NASCAR news and info. Big win for Corey Heim. First-time winner. Not even. When was the last time someone that wasn't full-time? I'm thinking Keselowski and Talladega back in the day. Wasn't a full-time driver. Got a win. Basically stealing a win from guys. He's not even eligible for the championship this year. So what a win for him. You know what? The big winners are 23-11 Racing. He's going to be in their stable next year. And listen to Larry Mack today. I listened to who else? But the prevailing thought is Josevar is famous and certainly made a splash, and rightfully so. But the guy that may just end up winning more than anybody is that kid right there, Corey Heim. Apparently super talented, very highly thought of in the garage area. So coming up next, the Iowa Speedway. Oh, please. Hold on. I'm looking for the website. But last year it was like the Corn 400 or something like that. I like it when they do fun stuff like that at Iowa. Coming up, yes, the Iowa Corn 350. Powered by ethanol. So, you know what? It's a race coming up in Iowa. It's all about corn.
It's
baby.
It's still hard to get used to the Cup Series being in Iowa. It's just not one that gets me all fired up.
But here it is. I'm looking at the stands. 70,000 people show up to that bad boy. Packed house. 70,000 people show up to Martinsville, Sean. It's packed house.
Mm-hmm.
But... you know, it's that, have you ever seen that, there's like a meme, but it's based on, you know, a science experiment, but you take two cups with the exact same amount of fluid in it, but you pour one of them in like one of those tall beakers and it makes it look like there's so much more, but it's the exact same amount of fluid just in different size containers.
Mm-hmm.
What one looks way more than the other. That's basically what it is. But it's like, we got to get up in arms because, my God, 250,000 people, which would basically be all of Chattanooga, didn't just pick up and go to a speedway this weekend.
Yeah,
it's just not going to happen.
We can't move on to this driver standings without also commenting about Gilliland, Todd Gilliland's $1 million.
Was it David Gilliland?
No, Todd Gilliland. Yeah, Todd.
Man,
David.
I'm going old school.
David was around a long time ago. Todd Gilliland finished 24th to win the 1 million in-season tournament, a bracket-based head-to-head challenge within the last five races. Front Row Motorsports driver got to celebrate as his opponent. Ryan Blaney got caught up in an accident and finished 26th.
They're calling it the Millie for Gilly. That is
$1 million,
and for a race team. And listen, I'm sure Ryan Blaney likes money too, but you talk about a race team that could use $1 million. I think this is actually the best turnout for this little tournament bracket that NASCAR did. You got a long shot to win it. I just don't know that anyone paid attention.
I don't think they paid attention to it really until the end of the race when TNT, Daniel Trotta did an interview with Gilliland about his $1 million win. Up until then, I don't even know if many people thought too much about it.
Well, you know what? We've been going over the bracket each and every week here on Racing Talk Radio, so we're carrying the load.
But still, it hadn't gotten us too excited about it.
No, it's weird, but
yeah.
Something else to gamble on, I guess. That's kind of cool.
All right, let's get into the driver's point standings after the race at Indy. We got Denny Hamlin in the lead. He is 84 points ahead of second place. And somewhat fellow teammate Tyler Reddick, third. Ryan Blaney's 120 points behind. Ty Gibbs is in fourth, 135 points behind the leader. And then Carson Hocevar is in fifth, but he's way on back, 248 points behind the leader. But quite impressive to be in the top five.
The top four have clinched a chase spot, whether or not they race in the next few or not. That is impressive in and of itself. But like you said, Sean, the drop-off from Ty Gibbs to Carson Hocevar, there's a pretty big line of demarcation there. almost 150 points from one, a little bit more than that, actually. Over 100 points, anyway. All right. Chase Elliott is in sixth, seventh to Chase Briscoe, eighth Kyle Larson, ninth Chris Buescher, Christopher Bell in 10th, Daniel Suarez 11th, William Byron 12th, Joey Logano 13th, Bubba Wallace 14th, SVG hanging tough in 15th, even with two wins, and Austin Cindric in the second spot. Austin Cindric has about a 38 point advantage over 17th Ryan Preece, followed by Eric Jones. Brad Keselowski, buddy, you better get on that horse. Time's running out. Same for Michael McDowell and Ross Chastain.
All right, let's shift gears for just a moment and go into some news in the world of NASCAR. Jimmy Johnson announced yesterday at the end of the NASCAR broadcast on TNT. So it is official. He confirmed it. He will compete in the 2027 Daytona 500 with a very familiar car number, the number 48. In the final NASCAR Cup Series start of one of the most accomplished careers in the history of American motorsports. He announced that he appreciated the extraordinary gesture by Rick Hendrick and Hendrick Motorsports and the longtime number 48 partner Allied Financial. They have agreed to loan Johnson the Hendrick Motorsports, number 48 number for his farewell race with Legacy Motor Club. The move will reunite the Johnson with the number most closely associated with his Hall of Fame career. NASCAR has approved this for a one race loan, allowing the tribute to take place without affecting the driver or owner points standings in 2027. Johnson goes on to say, "This is far more than a number. The number 48 represents people, relationship, memories, and a chapter of my life that shaped who I am. To have the opportunity to make one final Cup Series race start carrying the number is something I never imagined. I'm incredibly grateful to Rick Hendrick and Ally and everyone that's willing to make this possible. It's a gesture I'll carry with me forever."
So basically he's re-retiring and they're letting him run the 48 for his final run, even though it belongs to a completely different race team. But that's cool, man.
It surprises me that he's making this for sure his final. He's been going sort of back and forth.
He's been dabbling, but I guess he's wanting to get more in just the team ownership aspect of it.
Yeah.
And he's seen all these. Listen, it was enough when you had the young guns of, Blaney and Elliott coming up. But now they're the wily veterans. He's really old. So he's like, I've had enough.
Yeah. Some other news in the world of NASCAR. It is being reported by The Athletic that NASCAR season opening exhibition race, being the Clash, will be returning to Daytona in 2027. And that's according to multiple industry sources after a six-year hiatus. The Clash will unfold on Daytona's track, first time since 2020, and will be famed facility for the first time since 2021. The race is slated to be held on Saturday, February 13th, the day before the Super Bowl, and a week before the already announced Daytona 500 on February 21st. I think this is a good move. I think NASCAR moving it away from Daytona when they did was good. I think NASCAR has proven that change, a lot of positive can come from it. And I think moving it around like this has been a great thing. I don't fault NASCAR whatsoever for their entire business model that they've done with the Clash. And I think it's very appropriate to now take it back to Daytona. I don't really have a preference if it stays there for a long period of time or not, but I think this is good news.
Yeah, it's an exhibition, so why make it tougher on the teams and the sport and all that stuff by flying across the country? I mean, we're already going to be at Daytona. That's the real race. It's an exhibition just to get everyone excited for the start of the season. I'm happy to see it back, too. And you know what? Once again, hats off to NASCAR. Tried it for a few places. Says this doesn't work. Let's just bring it back.
Well, I wouldn't say that it just didn't work. I think it worked well.
I think it worked well once.
Well, it worked well at Bowman Gray. It worked well at the Coliseum. I don't see anywhere that they went was a failure. Do you think that?
We had the talk that it wasn't really as exciting as we would like, and well, I don't think the ratings showed that it was as much of a success.
But I think that's two old guys thinking and talking.
Shaking our fist at clouds.
I don't know if that was. I don't know that we can say that was the overall consensus of the NASCAR fan base. And I don't really know if you can say TV ratings were affected a great deal. However, there's a lot of new NASCAR fans that have become involved in the sport in the last 6 years that never have seen the clash at Daytona. So there's I think this is all a great idea.
I'm all for it. I think it'll be good.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about some other news in the world of NASCAR. Days of Thunder sequel is going to be proceeding. We'll give you the lowdown on that. Also, Connor Zillage is a favorite to possibly replace Alex Bowman. We'll talk about that because Alex Bowman just announced what his future plans are, and we'll give you the lowdown on that as well. All that and more. We come back. This is like what we used to say often, and we need to say it more often, and that is, this is the fastest hour in radio, Racing Talk Radio, here on Rock 103.7. A lot more straight ahead. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield. Stay with us.
Chattanooga's home for NASCAR. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7.
At Texas Roadhouse, they're famous for their hand-cut steaks, fall-off-the-bone ribs, made-from-scratch sides, ice-cold beer, and their irresistible fresh-baked bread.
They take great care in everything they prepare, served with big smiles at a great value.
Texas Roadhouse is always focused on providing legendary food and legendary service.
Download their mobile app, place an order, and pick up curbside. Texas Roadhouse, located at Shadowford Road and I-75.
When you have an appetite for Mexican food, I've got the place for you. Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill is your destination for fresh, delicious burritos, tacos, nachos, salads, and quesadillas. I have their grilled chicken bowl, and I choose each fresh ingredient just the way I like it. Go to Dos Bros Fresh Mexican Grill today, located at 2396 Lifestyle Way, Suite 114 in East Brainerd, just behind the Embassy Suites. For more information, visit Dos Bros online at dosbros.com.
Hey folks, this is Misty Bolt, otherwise known as Medicare Misty. Yes, I'm a real person, and yes, I help people answer real Medicare questions every day. 10,000 people are turning 65 daily. If you or your parents have questions, don't trust an 800 number, junk mail, or a national.com. Trust a real person that lives in your community and serves your community. Medicare Misty. Find out more about me and my team at MedicareMisty.com. MedicareMisty.com.
Not affiliated by or endorsed by any governmental agency. Plans depend on zip code. We may not have all plans. Go to Medicare.gov.
Go to your favorite podcast platform and search Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You.
Join Sean Whitfield, Matt Davis, and Darren Johnson for a podcast about fitness, health, and bodybuilding.
We feature the best in fitness and bodybuilding right here in Chattanooga.
You can expect workout advice and fitness tips from two of the best fitness and bodybuilding trainers in Chattanooga.
Many great guests and inspiring conversations.
A lot of laughs and entertainment to go along with it.
Subscribe and follow Chattanooga Fitness Download, presented by Optimize You, today.
We're excited to announce and welcome Nuga Dentistry. Nuga Dentistry specializes in general dentistry, cosmetic dentistry, dental implants, veneers, endodontics, Invisalign, and dental emergencies. Trusted dental care, one great smile at a time. And now, we are officially broadcasting from the Nuga Dentistry studio. Find Nuga Dentistry online at NugaDentistry.com.
Hey, it's Blake Watson with Epic Realty. I'm your Chattanooga and Northwest Georgia realtor, ready to help you make a move to your new home. Find me on Facebook as Blake Watson and on Instagram as Rock and Roll Blake. 888-893-3537.
Talking NASCAR for over 24 years. Racing Talk Radio on Rock 103.7. Here's Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield.
Welcome back to the program's Racing Talk Radio here on Rock 103.7. Sean Whitfield, Casey Orr. We're here every Monday at 6, getting you up to speed on all your NASCAR news and information. Big win for Corey Heim. First win of the season in the Cup Series. And he is not even a full-time driver. Not even eligible to win the championship. Up there stealing victories from the guys. You got to love it. What a big win for him. And, of course, now we turn our attention towards Iowa for the Iowa Corn 350 powered by ethanol. That's coming up this weekend at Iowa Speedway.
As I was watching the race yesterday, I was thinking about Kyle Busch. It just still seems surreal that he is gone and he's not out on the racetrack.
Pretty wild.
Does it ever cross your mind?
Yeah, I saw a picture of him the other day that someone did a tribute. I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that happened this year, and it happened just a few months ago. It's amazing how things go so fast in this world we live in today.
Mm-hmm. And he was what we were all talking about and following, and it's almost like that story and what happens been put into a box and the lid has been put on the box and it's been set over on the shelf, so to speak. And it's just a strange feeling, especially when you start thinking about what we're going to talk about next, and that is what the 2027 season looks like as far as drivers go. Because as of right now, there is still no word on who will likely fill Kyle Busch's place next year with Richard Childress Racing. There's been no hint whatsoever that I've been able to discover. In some of my homework I was doing today, it appears that Austin Dillon's going to continue to be in the race car in 2027 for RCR. But, you know, that's an organization that you look at and you go, all the stuff that they've gone through, and you wonder how they keep going. How they keep the doors open? How do they keep sponsors? I don't know. It's sad to see such a iconic name and brand and organization, and Richard Childress is highly respected, and I have so much respect for him, and to just see him like no life's there.
Yeah, but it is certainly for that organization, and obviously for the Busch family, this, you know, something that's going to last forever. But I will say, I do think it's also, on the other side, a positive thing for NASCAR that, you know, not one person is bigger than the sport. It continues to move forward. It continues to thrive. I think a lot of the drivers and the tracks and the races themselves have done an awesome job in ways to honor Kyle Busch. But it hasn't slowed the sport down. And I think that shows that it's healthy.
Yeah.
But yes, it is one of those things that sometimes it's hard to remember that was just a few months ago. Sean, I've got we talked about standings earlier, and I wanted to talk a little bit about this. You know, I'm not a big fan of the fact that once you win, you're no longer in, for sure. I thought that was always fun. It always gives a chance for the long shot, no matter what. It gives a redemption in one race kind of story. And the flip side of that is you do get, you know, a win helps you a bunch because of points. But it's the fact that it's not guaranteeing that maybe now the fluke guy doesn't get in, the guy that's maybe not as deserving just had a really good day at the track. But I think what's happening, and we're seeing this in the point standings, talked about a little bit earlier. Austin Centric is in the 16th spot. Ryan Preece, there's a pretty large fall down to Ryan Preece and then on down from that. Ryan Preece in 17th is 30. I'm not good at doing math fast, but 30, almost 40 points behind Austin Cindric. So that's a pretty good gap, not unsurmountable, but as the races get down, my worry is we're about to get in a spot where we could be two, three races left to go and all 16 spots are already spoken for. And that is what I don't like. That, I mean, SVG, Sean, has two wins and he's in danger of falling out of the top 16. He sits in 15th spot. He is by no means guaranteed in. That would be a guy that I think you win two races, you should absolutely be in. And so now I'm just worried that these last few races leading up to it, like Daytona right before the playoffs, you roll up there knowing that there's about 20 guys that they're going to do something crazy because there's a chance this is how they're about to get in the playoffs. Well, that drama's kind of gone now. Yeah. And I think we're seeing the other side of not having the one win and you're in. So I just noticed that. There's a pretty big gap between 16 and 17, and I don't know if it's going to get any better the next few races.
We just got a few minutes left. I want to make sure we get this in. Alex Bowman just announced this past week, along with Hendrick Motorsports, that he would not be returning or will not be returning after the 2027 season. It is been in the rumor mill now for a few days or a few weeks. Connor Zillage, who is signed through next season with Trackhouse Racing, is doesn't have a contract beyond that. However, Trackhouse Racing is hoping that it works out, he will stay, but he is a big target for Hendrick Motorsports, and so there's a possibility there.
Are you shocked at all that Hendrick's given him that long of a ramp to, I like Alex Bowman, but I mean, do you give him a lame duck year? Is he worth that? Or why not?
I would say,
or is it because they can't acquire talent quick enough to fill that spot?
That's a good question.
I mean, listen, if it's Jimmy Johnson, it's Jeff Gordon, it's, you know, Rusty's last ride. I mean, those are the lame duck years you're used to. I was just a little shocked. They're like, Alan, you can have a throwaway year.
If I was going to take a good guess, I would say that the sponsor had a lot to do with that decision. That the sponsor stepped up and said, hey, we are in favor of having another year with Alex Bowman.
Maybe Hendrick's like, we got to figure out why our race cars are so slow. We really don't have time to go find another guy to fill in for next year.
Yeah. Days of Thunder sequel is it looks like it's gonna happen.
You Paramount. Fired up, Sean?
You know I am.
Oh, Cold Trickle I comes am. Back.
And it does appear that Tom Cruise is back on board to be the star in the follow up racing drama from 1990. And that intends to be his next production. Days of Thunder was a reteaming of Cruise and Top Gun helmer Tony Scott while it still coming together. It looks like that it's going to happen. Details are expected to come soon. I think it's going to be extra special. I'm looking forward to it.
I think it'll be straight to Netflix, but it'll be fun. What the heck?
You think it'll?
Did you like the first one?
Yeah, I did. I mean, it's been so long ago, and back at its time.
It was iconic.
It was a big deal. Now that we are flooded with movies and we have Netflix and all the things that we have to choose from today, I don't know if it's going to have as big a splash or as big a punch as it did back in 1990.
I mean, Robert Duvall, classic. The racing scenes were always goofy because they do that, you know, where these drivers are driving around and all of a sudden they downshift and start going faster. You know, it's like every racing movie, you've got to show some sort of action. So it's always the driver doing like a gear shift and then they really take off. And you're like, but they would just be in that gear all the time. Mm-hmm. But I will say at that age of my life, was it 1990?
I was going to say, what grade were you in?
I was 11. And so a young Nicole Kidman was very much appreciated. And
that was what interests you the most.
The scene with the Sweet and Low packets where he's talking about drafting and he's doing it like on her knee or whatever. Yeah, that seemed like, whoa, what's happening right now?
I would have never remembered that.
Oh, you don't. Oh, man. And that was back when they got married. I mean, yeah, they got married right after that, I think. He and Nicole Kidman. Hollywood marriage didn't last a long time.
There's so much about that time I don't even remember.
You were so busy work and going to prayer meetings all the time.
It seems like it was just a lifetime ago. So, all right, we get a week off. NASCAR gets a week off. We don't get a week off, but NASCAR gets a week off, and then we're headed to the Midwest, headed to Iowa as the season continues to go right along. We got race number 23 coming up. Don't you think these drivers and teams are welcoming a weekend off? And then the teams that are just on the edge or just barely hanging in are thinking, we really got to get our homework done well during this break so we come back out of the gate and we're ready to secure a spot.
And you look at the racetracks and there's just, I mean, Iowa, Richmond, New Hampshire, I mean, those are not exactly the easiest tracks to get out there and just snap into a better season. So I would say everybody's circling Daytona, but it's no longer the winning end. So we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Well, we want to thank all of you out there for joining us and making us a part of your Monday. We'll be back here next Monday to do it all over again, keeping you up to date with all the latest news on and off the track in the world of NASCAR. We are broadcasting from the Nuga Dentistry Studio. Don't forget, if you've missed any portion of today's broadcast, you can go to your favorite podcast platform and search Racing Talk Radio Download. That's Racing Talk Radio Download. And listen to us in podcast, as well as you can go to our website at racingtalkradio.com. For Casey Orr, I'm Sean Whitfield, and have a great week.
This has been the fastest hour in radio, Racing Talk Radio, on Rock 103.7, your home for NASCAR. Join Casey Orr and Sean Whitfield each Monday at 6 p.m. on Rock 103.7. Check out our website and for past shows, racingtalkradio.com. This has been a production of the Whitfield Media Group.
From the Randy Boner Smith Studios. Powered by Carpets and Furniture of Dalton.